Hello everyone. I have come across this wonderful questionnaire put forth by B. Thank you, B. It looks like 25 questions. And I'm going to try to answer this. I will try not to ramble too much, which is, I tend to do that. Okay, I'm just going to dive right in. Number one, how long did you lurk until you decided to start posting? What made you take the leap? I never lurked. I learned of GWA through Literotica. And I created my account, started listening, browsing and listening, and posted something, I think, within a day. So I never lurked. What made you take the leap? I had been introduced to audios on Literotica, and I enjoyed that experience and wanted to make my own. And actually, posting on Reddit is easier than posting on Lit. So there you go. Number two. Top three tags for you to perform / write. Well, I do both, so I'm going to name three tags for each because they are a bit different. So for performing, I have a lot of tags, but I would say if I were to do a word cloud, which I have not done yet, maybe I should do that. I think my three most frequent tags would have to be gentle femdom, milking, and monster girl. But I'm just going to say I wouldn't say I'm defined by those three things. I would just say those are probably the three most frequent tags. And then writing, first of all, I write from both the male POV and female POV. So there's that. I would say BFE, GFE. That's one tag because it would depend on which POV I'm writing from. As play. I think those of you who know me know this. And, like gentle femdom or mild emdom. Just off the top of my head. There are a bunch of other things, obviously, but yeah, okay. Number three. Are there any tags that you would never perform / write? Scat, vomit, vor. Yeah. Four. Build the perfect GWA performer using parts of existing VAs. Whose style would you pick? Whose editing skill would you pick, etc.? I would not do that. I mean, there are aspects that I like. I think there is a common sound that I like. I listen to M4 voices. So, I mean, I'll do like a kind of a medium voice with sometimes a scratch or a rasp to it. But yeah, I wouldn't want to cherry pick any particular aspect. Yeah, no. Number five. Pick one moment that you cherish the most since you joined the audio community. I would say probably the first time that I received a message from a listener saying that I really helped them with their previous feelings of shame around whatever kink that they were harboring, and felt like, you know, through my audio, they were able to, they felt some, validated or supported or appreciated and so forth. It was probably a pegging or by encouragement audience member. Number six. What's one thing you wish you could have told yourself when you first started? Okay. The one thing, and I was just telling this to a writer friend today, I do wish that I did not comment on everything under one ID. Probably would have been smarter to post under my main smut ID and as a listener comment on another ID for various reasons. I can't go into it, but yeah. Probably would have preserved a bit of mystery there. Okay. Number seven. Performers, who are your top three writers? And writers, who are your top three performers? So there too, I can answer both because I do both. I am primarily a performer. So to say top three, I would say my most frequent three. I'm going to say most frequent. I say top because there have been writers I maybe have filled one script of theirs, but I think about them. I mean, I regard them in the same light as I do the writers that I perform more frequently for. So most frequently, I have performed for Safkhan Mack, who writes kind of AI fembot scenarios, narrative, late stage infernalism, who writes a whole bunch of things and lovely. And the third one, you know, there are a few now that I think would, if I had to count the scripts, I mean, I could really go and look this up, but I don't know. I'm going to say Homer Sosh. Yeah, I'm going to stick with that. I think there are a couple more that I may have filled maybe the same number of times. But I can't quite remember right this second. And of course, these top three or most frequent three will be, if you ask me this 6 months from now, it's going to be totally different, I think. Okay. Now, writers, who are my top three? So again, I'm going to say the three performers that have performed the most number of my scripts, which I'd have to say my top three because they are all tip-top. I appreciate all my performers, and I don't say that lightly, or I should say not my performers of my scripts. So the VA who has filled my most frequently my scripts is Naming is Difficult. Very grateful for all his efforts. Second is, I know I'm going to forget someone and I'll just be really upset. Names that come to mind are, Priest of Aphrodite. Thank you. And, Horny Heart. And yeah, I'm going to stop. Maybe By Boy 8990. I'm not actually sure which ones of the last two names between Horny Heart and By Boy. I don't know which ones, but I've done more frequently. So there. Okay, number eight. Is there anyone you would want to collaborate with? If so, who? I have collaborated with a number of people now, so there isn't anyone that I am in a vacuum that I am dying to collaborate with. I mean, I hope to collaborate with more. It's just that I tend to think about collaborators when thinking of specific projects, not just randomly collaborators. Okay, number nine. How do you get ideas, inspirations, or audios, or scripts? Well, for scripts, literally just can come from anything. It can come from slice of life, you know, daily life kind of thing, or maybe an old fantasy. Audios, well, if it's a script, then that's not my idea or inspiration, it's somebody else's. So I find scripts by searching by keywords. Like I say, this week I wanted to do a romantic vampire wife kind of thing, and I found exactly that. Sometimes it happens that way. Or sometimes I might want to convey a certain mood or a certain being, and I would just search for those words. And I mean, there's so much on here that I can almost find something. And of course, I was finding something, and then there's finding a script that has the right, that matches the way I talk and perform. So there's that too. As far as ideas for improvs, I mean, again, it can come out of nowhere. Usually I get an idea first thing in the morning. Improvs usually happen first thing in the morning when the day is still fresh. Okay. Number 10. How do you prioritize which audios or scripts to produce first? I do not prioritize at all. I do things according to my mood at the time. I don't keep a list. I don't have a plan. Sometimes I sit down, I think I'm going to record something, and it ends up being something totally different. It really depends on how I'm feeling in that moment in time. Same thing with scripts sometimes. I mean, I try not to have too many scripts in progress, but, you know, I might sit down with an idea to do one particular script and then sit down. Can't even think in that way, end up doing something else altogether. But I don't think that part of it is unusual. I think maybe a little bit more atypical is how I don't really manage. I don't plan ahead the whole audio making endeavors. Okay, 11. How do you like to interact with your audience? How do you toe the line between connecting with your audience versus sharing too much of yourself? I prefer to interact via comments. I'm not against DMs, but they kind of get lost in the feed, in my message feed, so I can't really keep up with those. So if you ever DM me and you don't hear back, don't be offended. I just can't really keep up with that. I usually use DMs for collaborating or discussing projects. So comments are better. That's how I like to interact. And then how do I toe the line between connecting versus sharing? Well, I don't really have a problem with sharing too much of myself. I mean, I don't think I tend to do that. I do think that in making audios, we are already sharing quite a lot of ourselves clearly sharing our voice in the public arena. I guess I've made a few rambles that I would consider sharing myself, but I mean, they are made to be shared, so I don't know, rambling here. let's reel it back now. Toe the line. Yeah, no, I feel pretty good with what I share, and sometimes I might write something, I'll delete it later. I guess that's how I toe the line. All right, number 12. How do you handle negative comments or hate messages? I usually laugh out loud. Of course, it's to myself. No one hears me. I don't receive hate messages. I mean, I haven't really. And I'm grateful, I guess. Although if I did, I would just delete them. I would delete, block, etc., report. You know, I do not engage. Now, negative comments. I have had a few comments, like 3 or 4 that I can remember. A couple of them recent and a couple of them earlier on. And they were just kind of commentary on my audio quality and my voice. I'm just going to say, you know, my voice is what it is. I'm not going to change my voice or the way I talk to satisfy 1 or 2 or 10 people. If you don't like my voice, feel free to hide me so you never have to see my material ever again. That's how I handle that. Now, I have had some comments on audio mic quality. I do this as a pure hobby. I'm not looking to or planning to escalate this to anything close to professional or a semi-professional. Yeah, I mean, maybe I can go and get a proper mic, but I'm probably not going to do that. So again, if you don't like my audio quality, it's probably not going to change. So again, feel free to hide. But making comments about that, it's not going to change anything, and I'm probably just going to block you. So there. Number 13. Does anyone in your real life know that you are active in this community? If so, what were their reactions? The answer is no. I mean, yeah. No. Number 4. Is there any aspect of the community that you would like to change? Not really. I mean, I have been on here for now 16 months, and I have definitely seen it evolve a certain way. And I've only been here for a year and some, and I can only imagine for those who have been on here for 2 or 3 or 7 years, you've probably seen, I'm sure you have seen a much drastic change, I guess. I think that the audios that I like to listen to tend to be kind of classic. It's hard to explain what I mean by that. I don't need it to be fancy. I don't need a whole lot of production quality. Or production, not quality. I mean, I like a good sound, obviously, but it doesn't need to be like cinematic for me. In fact, I don't care for that. So I guess what I'm seeing a lot now is just a lot of production, and that's fine. I don't think it should change. I'm just saying I probably will not really listen to those. Yeah. I just like to hear some voice. Maybe a little bit of sound effects, but not a whole lot. Number 5. What is your favorite part of being in this community? To the generosity of it. People sharing things about themselves and then high-fiving each other. Whether it be fellow creators high-fiving each other or listeners high-fiving creators, and or even listeners high-fiving listeners, or listeners high-fiving authors, just all of it, just knowing that this community exists. And if it didn't exist, I think we'd be hard put to find something similar to this. So don't fuck it up, you guys. Number 16. Have you ever developed, realized a new kink because of an audio? I don't think so. I think I've mentioned a few times I do like the sound of spitting. Like if I'm listening to a ramble fap, let's say, and the guy spits in his hand, I like that. And then as far as making an audio or making audios, I never thought about milking until a fellow VA suggested a script that was femdom milking, and I kind of started a whole thing and also introduced me to an author that I really, really like who went away and who is now back. So I'm thrilled about that. So, yeah. Okay. Number 17. What is an underrated content that you wish we see more of? I can't really think of one right now. Flirting, maybe? I don't know. Number 18. Is there a popular kink that you just don't get or think is overrated? Yeah, there are popular kinks that I don't get or think are overrated, but I do not want to verbalize that right now because I think it's borderline kink shaming. Yeah. Number 19, if you told younger you that now you would be posting erotic audio scripts on Reddit, what would they say to you? Oh, she would say to me, oh yeah, I can totally see you doing that. Number 20, do you have a routine that gets you into your sexy mood for recording or writing? No, I do not. I mean, I just make sure I have a beverage. Sometimes it's wine, sometimes it's coffee. More often than not, it's water. For me, it's really performing. I don't need to get the sexy mood for recording. And I mean, unless it's a ramble fap or a ramble, in which case I don't need to get into a sexy mood. I'm probably already in a sexy mood. 21. Do you tend to record, write what you know? Or do you like to explore topics you may not be familiar with? Well, I write, writing, let's do the writing first. I do write what I know. I don't tend to research a whole bunch of things. Like, for instance, I've never written a Monster Girl script, even though I have voiced many Monster Girl strips. I have written a Monster Voiced script, but it's not really that monstrous. I mean, it's about a giant, you know. It's more fairy tale than monster, I think. Now, recording, yeah, I mean, Monster Girl, all that stuff was new to me. So, yeah, all that stuff definitely I was not familiar with. But I am becoming more and more familiar with the lore of various monster creatures. Number 22. Percentage-wise, how much of your porn consumption is audio-based? I would say right now it's 100%. Yeah. In the very beginning, I was still consuming more visual, but I mean, not like I was doing that a lot. I mean, I was just going through phases. Actually, my porn consumption used to be more, I should say, not visual, but some visual, but reading. But now I read less. I read less because there's just not that much that I written porn that I have consumed was mostly on Literotica, and I was kind of hard put to find anything new that I liked. So, I mean, I'm sure there is stuff now, but I'm not on there so much. Sorry, I could have just given the short answer there, but 23. What is your favorite audio script that you've ever posted and why? Favorite. Oh, I have so many favorites. But I think the one that always comes to mind when someone asks a question like that is there is an audio that I made. It was a request from a listener, a public request, for the wheelchair bound. Very GFE, friends to lovers kind of thing. I think it's called Long Time Friends Become More. And it's about a girl and a guy. She's used to be a cheerleader and he was her math tutor. You know, 10 years later, you know, it comes out that she had a huge crush on him and they get it on. And, their request was that, you know, that she shouldn't shy away from his disability or his usage of wheelchair and even maybe make that a part of it. And just, can't go into it. Maybe it is publicly available. You can go listen to it. I also transcribed it into a script, which I haven't seen it performed by anyone, but I think that's just such I really love that audio. Really love the audio. And what I really loved about audio too is that even though the equipment, you know, the wheelchair was prominently featured, it really could be listened to as a friends to lovers story. It wasn't about that. You know, that was just like one aspect of it. I don't know. You're just going to have to go and listen to it if you want. Okay. So, I like that one. But I have many, many favorites. 24. For original scripts or improvs, do you start with the character first, the situation, or the sexual aspect? How do you develop them? Which aspect do you spend the most time on? For originals, the situation first, the characters, then the sex aspects. And how do I develop them? I mean, I just sit there and write it. I don't, or improv it. I don't, you know, I'm not really that premeditated. I mean, in my mind, I'll have like 3 or 5 main points that I want to hit. And then I'll just make sure I hit them. I try to. Yeah. And which aspect do you spend the most time on? I tend to spend a lot of time on exposition. So setting it up. Sometimes I think I spend so much time on exposition and setting it up that after, like, oh God, now I gotta do the sex. It's like 20 minutes in, still haven't done anything. So some of my audios can be quite, the originals can be quite long. The improvs, like I've made some improvs like 40 minutes long, just ridiculous. So when they're more than, say, 25 minutes or more than 30 minutes long, I might provide timestamps because, you know, people got things to do. 25. That's the last question. If GWA was wiped from existence and you could only save 3 audios, which ones would they be? I'm not going to name any specifics because, you know, it's kind of private. But I have, let's see, 1, 2, 3. Yeah, like 3 audios or 3 creators I can think of that I will probably save from. But I couldn't really say which piece of theirs I would save. But I'm just going to tuck that under my pillow. It's kind of private. All right, you guys. Thank you for listening. Have an awesome day. Stay sexy.